The recording has officially started. So welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for being here for September 2023, I believe, LHON live call. This is our 110th LHON live call ever. Appreciate you all being here. My name is Andy Marks, calling from Hoboken, New Jersey, joined by my co-host, Jessica Lim. Are you there? There she is. To give you all a little background, I'm sure many of you have heard this spiel before, and I'll do it as quickly as I can. But Jessica and I had the pleasure of meeting each other at an LHON conference, actually in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, way back in June of 2014. I think both of us were either around a year of being diagnosed with LHON, or in my case, less than a year of being diagnosed with LHON, when we had the pleasure of meeting and quickly realized how cool it was to meet other people who are a part of this community. We live very unique lives where we are, because in most cases, we're the only people who have LHON where we are in our communities, sometimes in our families even. And we realize how cool it is to kind of tap into and share those experiences with people who, despite living lives that rarely intersect with our own, share so much in common with our own lives. So we wanted to find a way to kind of spread that benefit throughout the year. And so a couple months later, in August of 2014, we had our first LHON live call ever, and we've done them every month since then. So I believe last month was that makes last month our 9-year anniversary. So happy just over our anniversary, everybody. And we're looking forward to another great call tonight. Over the years, we've had a number of different types of calls. Sometimes we've had guest speakers, sometimes we've talked about specific topics. Sometimes we're just there to chat about whatever is on everyone's mind. So if you ever have thoughts or things you want us to talk about or speakers you want us to reach out to, or if you want to speak on the calls, you can always do that by reaching out to Jessica or myself or posting in the Facebook group or reaching out to any of number of other people who are obviously important people within this community. But in general, we want these calls to be whatever you want them to be. There are a few areas that we are not experts on. So if those topics come up, we may recommend you take your questions to actual experts, whether those are employment experts, medical experts, legal experts. But in general, we can talk about whatever we want here because it's our call. With that, Jess, how are you?
I love it. Happy 9-year anniversary to all of us, which is super exciting. And I'm doing fantastic. I was going to make a joke about the 110th call, which is that's like the temperature in a lot of places these days of how hot it is. So went straight to the degrees. But yeah, doing great. I won't brag about the Denver weather over here because it's pretty wonderful, but it's not 110.
No, you're very lucky. We are. I heard, and you're going to laugh at this being from Arizona, but I heard that given the temperatures, some of the schools are going to a half day here in New York tomorrow,
Wow.
which is pretty wild.
Why?
I don't know of a time that's happened. I mean, we are in quite the heat wave. It's a heat
Wouldn't.
index over 100, and will be tomorrow, but it's still double digits official temperatures. But the feels like temperatures are getting up there even higher than that, with the humidity, which is a thing that you dealt with less in Arizona. But yeah, what else is new? How was August for you? How was summer in general there in Denver?
Pretty great. So I moved recently. So I think every single time I probably complain about being amongst boxes, but finally have moved and is com completely I'm completely settled in. And I feel honestly like I think I've moved a couple times in the 9 years that we've been on this call, and I think this is my favorite move yet. And I say that because I'm in an area, I finally found a spot in Denver where I can walk to a grocery store, a post office, a Chipotle next door, a bunch of shops and restaurants, and probably two like city parks with a good running pass. So it's all of that's less than it's all probably less than 0.8 miles. I say that because as a runner, we all know the mileage. But all of that, so I would say the best thing I would use the word for would be free. Like I free feel like everything can be at my schedule and I can do it whenever I want versus kind of depending on an Uber or a Lyft or paratransit and just being able to like, oh, I want to go to the grocery store and go get chocolate chips. And then I walk there and I do, and I come back and it's pretty exciting. So I would say that's been like the most fun of that. And my mom was actually just here and helped me bump dot everything. And so, it's kind of funny how, I mean, I've been affected for Ooh, and there is someone a little bit with some background noise. So if you just want to, we can hear you if you want to mute, that'd be wonderful. Thank you. And I also, oh, thank you. And then I would say one of the coolest things that I feel like we talk about it time and time again, but you don't realize the value of it until you don't have it, is bump dots. I didn't have my whole place bump dotted and went a couple of weeks without it, and it took me so much longer to do like little things like pressing the start button on my washer and dryer. It took me that I had to find my phone and then zoom in and then like step on a step stool because I'm short and it's a stackable washer and dryer. And so to like do all of that, but the second my mom put bump dots on, like, gosh, I don't even have to think twice, don't have to really look. I just feel for the two different dots and press start. And so it's funny how like the little things that were like, oh yeah, we all know about bump dots, but then the second you don't do it and you're like, why don't I have bump dots on all these appliances? It just makes life super more efficient. So I kind of have done like relearn those things of what kind of makes you faster, especially in your own house. So yeah, it's been pretty great.
I love that. I have two questions. One, for any folks who happen to ever live in the Denver area, what neighborhood did you end up landing on that is as walkable as is it is? And then my follow-up question that is, why didn't you move there when you first in your first few places you lived in
Right.
Denver?
That's a great question. I have no idea. So I actually, so I've learned there's actually a couple places like this in Denver, and I feel like I just never knew. So I feel like it's a kept secret that I wish someone told me about. But right now I live in Cherry Creek, another neighborhood. If anyone else is listening from Denver, I would say that's similar to this is Highlands. I have no idea. It's definitely like a little bit of a bubble, which is totally cool with me. I think I needed to learn what I really wanted around me. I would say rent's a little bit higher here than I would say would be normal, or like the typical, but I think you pay for being in a city, right? Like I can't tell you the last time I was in an Uber in this past month that I lived here, which is the most exciting thing for me to share because I don't have to get in one because I can walk everywhere. I have learned the value of only buying five items at the grocery store at a time, or else it's you struggle walking home. But yeah, life lessons you learn.
You need to get yourself a nice little walking cart. I can recommend one to walk to and from the grocery store.
Wait,
I mean,
people tell me this all the time, but I'm like, I always tell them no girl's gonna get a boyfriend when she's using with a walking cart home. That's true.
well, I can agree that I've never gotten a boyfriend with my cart, but at the same time, I would have. If I were looking for a boyfriend, I would only want one who would want me with my card. So there's that.
That's true.
It's worthwhile. I mean, I also carry groceries up the four flights when we get back here. So there's that too. But that's another reason to only get what you need in a short, for short trips.
True.
But I, especially when you can go as frequently as you do. I actually, while I live in a town that is only 1 square mile, Mile Square City here in Hoboken, we're still like almost that full mile away from our favorite grocery store, which is Trader Joe's. But there are several bodegas between here and there if we want to just grab something quick and easy.
Yeah, true. I plus one on the Trader Joe's. Mine's 1.2 miles away, but it's only a 5 minute Uber. So I have not convinced any friends to take me there quite yet, but that's on my list.
There you go.
But what have
Well,
you been
yeah,
up to
look.
in August?
The biggest highlight of August, Lisa already asked about this, was going to Hawaii toward the end of the month. So I was there for a
Ooh.
full week, Saturday to Saturday, just getting back a few days ago. Got back during the long weekend, which made being ready for Monday with the jet lag a little easier. Or not Monday, rather,
Perfect.
Tuesday with the Labor Day weekend. But no, it was a blast. I went for a wedding. I know one thing we've spoken about before are ways to make your weddings accessible. I'm happy to talk about the ways that my friends continue to do that in ways that are really exciting and accessible for me. But also ended up turning a lot of the trip into a surfing trip, which was really cool. I took three different surfing
Ooh.
trips and three different instructors there, two of whom had never surfed with a blind person before and one who had. So really had a good time there. I mean, I enjoy any sport where I don't have to move myself and something else moves me. So I'm continuing to add to that list.
Wait, I feel like we need to dive into this right now. I first want to know, like, as a guest, what did your friends do to make sure the wedding was successful for you? Or
So
did they?
I was the only person not in the bridal party who had an assigned seat, which is
Oh, that's
perfect.
awesome.
As always, I don't request this, but I was given a seat at the reception, a table at the reception that is basically right next to the dance floor. So for all of your dances and whatnot, I'm pretty close, so I can make out whatever I can make out, and I have as good a seat as I could have there. Also, let's see, the night before we had a kind of rehearsal dinner where we went out to a luau, and again, I had a seat kind of reserved for me. I brought binoculars to that, knowing that the stage for the performances would be further away, so I was able to enjoy that as good as I could. But in general, a lot of it's around those seats. And I'm trying to think, I feel like there's something else that I'm completely missing. But if it occurs to me, I will let you all know. I mean, a lot of it's just being good in conversation, introducing people, anything you can do to have people not wear the exact same outfit, which is pretty common at a wedding, is helpful. But
That's awesome.
yeah, all of those things are really, really good. That's what I
I
got
love
for
the
now.
assigned seat. I think the assigned seat is that's awesome, and especially being close enough to things so you can kind of have a front row seat is pretty cool. That's awesome. What that's amazing, friends.
Oh yeah, they are the best.
Okay, and then now tell us about your surfing. So, like, what did they do? What did the surfing instructors do differently to make sure that you like? I don't know anything about surfing. Put your feet in the right spot? I don't know.
Sure, I'll give you a little bit, and there are probably better surfers on this call than I am, but I'm happy to let you all know whatever I happen to know, and then be corrected by those who know more than I do. But I had a good time, and by the end, I was like, I was very proud of how well I was surfing, and I'm happy to share proof for anyone who requires it. But I will share prior to this. So my wife knows I enjoy activities like that, and she was booking a snorkeling trip for the two of us, and she knows from prior experiences when we've both been snorkeling together that that's less for me. Snorkeling isn't my favorite activity since losing my vision. But I would say I enjoyed snorkeling this time better than any other time. We actually were snorkeling with sea turtles, and there were times where they were surfacing right next to us, so I could see them, and then I could especially see them as they basically dove back down to the floor of the ocean, while I couldn't see anything actually on the floor of the ocean. But anyway, so that was mainly for her, and then she booked the surfing, knowing that we'd probably both enjoy that. And so we did one lesson, and then that was with both of us, and I'll get into how it kind of went, but I enjoyed it enough where I ended up booking two more private lessons just for myself. And the way the lesson went, I mean, the first thing they ask anyone who books a surfing lesson is if you can swim. So if you can't swim, they're probably not going to really love you booking a surfing lesson. But once they knew that, we went over safety things on the land, on the beach there. And I am quick to share that I have low vision. I walked up with my cane folded. Sometimes I will walk up to places like that with my cane unfolded just to provide greater validity to my disability because I want it to be taken seriously. But at the same time,
Totally.
I want folks to understand that I can make out some things, and there's no need to start always in a tethered way or anything like that. But anyway, the way it works for us, we basically learn how to get up on the board on the beach. And then from there, we start the worst part of surfing for anyone who's ever surfed before. And we paddled out to the ocean. Once we got on our boards, we, in essence, were following our guide, our instructor, and he or she, based on the day, would be right in front of us. And once they realized that I am in less good shape than someone who surfs several hours a day, they would eventually put their foot on my board and tow me part of the way. Out to wherever we wanted to go. And from there, my vision is such that I'm not going to see waves at all far away from me. But when I can make out the horizon well enough to know, am I facing toward the waves? Am I facing toward the beach? and I can maintain facing one way or the other, which is basically what you'd want to do when you're surfing. You don't want to be like sideways necessarily so much, especially when a wave's breaching on you. And I can see the white water well enough to know that I to get over waves when I need to and not be kind of hit in the face with those waves. That said, the great thing about taking lessons, just like when I'm skiing, they're going to help you a lot. So you're not forced to catch many of these waves on your own. They will tell you to paddle. They will make sure you're facing the right direction. The important part for you is once you're actually going with some degree of momentum, which you can feel as much as see if you have your vision still, you are getting up at that point in time. And you're going to do that the exact same way. You're feeling the board the exact same
Oh.
way. You may have greater ability to feel the board and the water under you. So at that point in time, you are just riding the wave and you have very little. I mean, you can turn to some degree, but a lot of it is just feeling of the water at that point in time. The main difference for what I would do than others is once I inevitably either got back down on the board because the wave was dying out or fell off the board, more often than not, occasionally because I'm new to surfing, I would get back on the board, which I'm tethered to, and can find my way to the board or find the board back to me. I can get on the board, at which point I am meant to make my way back toward the instructor who is inevitably not near me at that point in time. So I would start paddling back the opposite way of the beach. And again, I can make out which way the beach is and which way the other way is. I would start paddling away from the beach. And that's when my instructor would start making random noises for me to get to him. It's a very difficult game of Marco Polo. And basically, they would make fun noises. I would point a certain direction. They would signal to me whether I was going the right or wrong direction, and I would eventually make my way back to them, or they would eventually make their way to me, in which case we'd start paddling back where we wanted to go together. So that's the real big difference. The only point where I'm really truly alone and needing to make my way somewhere. But like any sport, especially since I lost my vision and frankly lost a lot of the ego that I'm glad I don't have anymore. I'm happy to have an instructor for almost any sport, and it makes it a lot more fun, frankly. So I had a blast, and I'm looking forward to next time.
Oh, that is awesome. I was just about to ask, like, how did you find the instructor again? But they just like bird called you. Like, they made some
Yes,
sound and you
exactly.
like, okay.
Exactly. They do crazy loud whistles. They do bird calls. They'd yell. Very rarely my name. I mean, as you'd expect, full-time surf instructors in Hawaii are interesting characters. So when you ask them to make a noise, they're not going to make the one you expect.
Oh, that's awesome. And like that worked every time. Like you always were able to find them.
Like I said, I could find them or they could find me. I mean, like they
Oh,
are
okay,
the
perfect.
professional surfers. So if I'm not making my way to them eventually, and this is all dependent on the waves and when the next wave is coming. In a perfect
Okay.
world, you're catching your wave and it's in the middle of a set and they're catching a wave right behind you so that they're not far behind you when you are making your way back to your board. But inevitably, more often than not, I'm having to make my way part of the way to them before they get to me.
Okay. Wow, cool. What a cool experience. That sounds fantastic.
It was super, super cool. I had a blast.
Oh, that's awesome. And yeah, more to come on that, but that's great. And I feel like I totally understand the entire experience. So you were super descriptive. So thank you very much.
For those who like are into surfing and especially blind surfing, there's a nearly entirely blind surfer in California that I follow on TikTok. He's also a voice actor who some of you may know. If you're interested, I'll try and find his name. He shares lots of blind surfing and blind skateboarding and I want to say blind voice acting, but that's less interesting maybe in a way. Stories
I
in
think
general.
his,
So, do you know his name?
yeah, I think it's a Pete Gustin, Pete Gustin.
That might make sense. Yeah, I mean I don't know too many of them, so you're probably right.
Yeah, there aren't as many blind surfer influencers, but there are a lot more skateboarders. I
Yes.
like to skateboard in my spare time, and it's kind of cool to see people who are more talented than I. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that guy's first name is Pete.
Yeah, but what's your name, by the way?
Oh, I'm Joey and I'm calling in from Southern California.
Very cool. Are you, do you, you said you skateboard. Do you surf by chance? I'm curious.
I'm too lazy to surf.
I'm too lazy to surf on my own, Joey. Don't worry.
Yeah, and when I say I skateboard, I mean my best trick is not falling over. I'm really more of a kind of casually gliding on that thing.
Very impressive. I love it.
That totally counts.
No, but
Especially the
thank you
not
that.
falling part.
Yeah. So yeah, once we get you skiing, Jess, we'll get you on a surfboard someday.
I know, right? I really need to pick up skiing. It should be a thing on my to-do list. You would think I would jump on it with all your great stories one day.
I don't know. I will admit, like someone was asking me recently, they're like, "Hey, would you enjoy surfing or skiing more?" And I was like, "I mean, right now I enjoy both a whole bunch. I do recognize that skiing is far more dangerous, though. There are fewer trees to run into in the ocean. But
Ooh, that's
I do
true.
enjoy both."
Jess, go to Steamboat. They have a great program.
No, right? I need to like put that on my to-do list. It's still a little bit of a hike from Denver to Steamboat.
Oh,
And
is yeah, it's super far. A few
but
hours at
yeah,
least.
I'm like, so I'm like, I need to work on that. I have a one of my running guys actually just bought a house in Steamboat, so he's picking up and moving. And so maybe he would just
Boo.
like want to come back and pick me up and then drive me all the way back. Why not?
Yes,
Right.
carpool
Don't
back to where he lives. Exactly.
you want to come back and get me? That's awesome. But yeah, no, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Annie. That is a fun August.
Yeah, it was a good time. Good time. Happy to be home though, even though it's so much hotter here than Hawaii. Yeah, with that, I know I'm just going to bring up one more topic because I said we were going to, and then we're going to get right into a longer discussion that I know we scheduled for today as well. But
Thank you.
we got a request earlier this month, and frankly, I don't even know if I'm being honest when I say that. It could have been last month, for someone who was interested in different games we recommend playing now that we've lost our vision. I'm a huge like game player, and by that I mean like board games, party games, family games, all of those sorts. I think a lot of folks like this topic from time to time, and different folks give different recommendations. I know we gave out some games at the conference this year, so we're happy to have some people give their recommendations based on that. My go-to blanket advice, rather than recommending games that are specific for people with low vision, because those exist. There are big cards for Uno. There are big cards for playing cards. There are blind backgammon boards. I have one. There are checkers. There are all these kinds of games for people who have low vision and or blind. I took a picture with a gigantic, big as me bingo card when I first lost my vision. All of these work and they're fine. I, however, more often than not, found myself wanting to make the games that other people are playing accessible. And I do that lots of different ways. I mean, every year my family comes up with new games. I mean, or not comes up with, but finds new games. My mom often gives me at least a game or two for Christmas every year. I recently bought Doomlings, which will not stop advertising itself to me on TikTok, which is a card game that I play similar to other people, and yet I'm constantly using my phone to magnify what's on the cards and be able to read them, or I'm taking pictures of my entire hand, or I'm asking someone else what a card says. There are other games like Werewolf, or actually, One Night Ultimate Werewolf is the most popular game we played with my family this year, which is a werewolf or mafia or secret identity game that many of you may be familiar with, but basically, in essence, everyone draws a card. You have a secret identity. I, at that point in time, would take a picture of that card. I could either have OCR read it to me, or I could use magnification and read it. At that point, you're basically doing something throughout the evening that your role would have you do. And you really don't need much vision for most of that. But to make it a little easier for me, I do ask the entire party to basically increase the duration of activities. I do find that the least accessible games, or really the only games that I can't make accessible to myself, are games that move at a very, 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 very fast pace. Anything that can be done at a slow pace, I can almost make work for me. And I could make work for a lot of people with no vision, probably. So that's generally my advice. I like to make it a problem that I can solve on how to make games more accessible. But there are always those other ways of doing and playing games that are entirely accessible anyway. Games like Just One or Herd Mentality are two favorites of mine where you don't have to be able to see anything. Everyone could play blindfolded the whole time. And the last plug I'm going to make in at all is a game that we started playing this year called Hand to Hand Wombat, which is a game you play with everyone completely blindfolded. So there's no worry about having any vision at all. You draw a card, and based on its color being red or blue, and or you zooming in or using OCR to read what your specific card says, at that point in time, you put a blindfold on, and you never have to see anything again. In fact, no one's supposed to. So encourage folks finding that game if they're interested. It's from the same people who made Exploding Kittens or Monsters vs. Babies or Poetry for Neanderthal, if you're familiar with any of those three games. I will stop there. I could continue talking about this topic more and more, but I always like to help folks find ways to play games. There's no reason to stop just because you don't have vision.
This is Joey. I think that that is fantastic advice. I do want to say on the topic of like commercially available blind specific, low vision specific games, just be aware that like not every product out there is quality. So if you find one and you're like, oh, this doesn't work for me, it might just not be the right one. I think the best example I have, my family, we like to play a lot of playing cards. And I have this low vision kit or low vision set that I only keep because it's a really bad example, because the color contrast on here is awful. It's really confusing and hard to see, and it's all wonky. Whereas this card, same size as an average playing card, except about half the card, I would say like maybe like 50, it'd be like a size 54 font, is like tells you what suit it is and what all of that. So these cards I always keep in my purse because you never know when you're going to have a card game. For any folks in here who have younger children and want to play games with them, I work with kids and like make games all the time for them. And one of my favorite games that we've ever done is accessible hide and seek. And so maracas turned into sound making bracelets with rubber bands and tape. That is what we ended up using for my group of kids, where like they're a mix of different ranges of sight, all the way to like no vision. And they had a blast with that version of hide and seek.
I love that, Joey. Thank you so much. I love just the idea of being creative to make a game accessible in your own way. And so I understand that's not exciting for some folks sometimes, especially if you're just coming to terms with your own vision loss and you don't want to do something that causes everyone else to play a game differently. But I do think it's really, really fun for those folks who are interested in it. Awesome, Joey. Thanks so much.
Also, two things I'll throw on there. One, I just love that like you have a thing of cards in your purse, which I love that. I think being blind, low vision, visually impaired, I would say that one of the best things that makes anything successful for all of us is just being prepared. So like having a accessible deck of cards in your purse is probably like a game changer to kind of make sure that experience is always the best. So I love that. And I could totally see that suit of cards once you brought it up here to the screen. So super cool to have that. That was my, I was like, I love that.
I'm certain you're the only non-magician who carries a deck of cards around, but I love it.
Right.
Appreciate that. Jessica, is there anything else? I don't know if we want to kind of transition here and wait to give our important dates after this next topic.
Yeah, I was just gonna probably pull out the classics for the games and just kind of shout out that the games that we shared at conference, or that we actually, I say shared, but we was in a giveaway for a raffle. And I always said raffle when I was at conference. I said that one was center, left, right, center. There we go, left, right, center. And it was actually the tip, like, and I would say these are like the typical blind vision paired low vision games, and where they were all pretty large font. But we found one actually on Amazon that was had blue font, so it was pretty cool. And then like larger dice. So we gave out like Uno cards. We gave out left, right, center. I think we did checkers as well. And so, yeah, there's of course like all of those also on Amazon. So that's, or often like Maxi Aids and things like that, that have like games with larger print. But, and also we did playing cards, just like what Joey had lifted up. But no, I love that you went off the classic board games, Andy, and had some totally new ideas that I've never even heard of. I don't think I only heard of exploding cats. Everything else I've never heard of. So I was trying to take some good notes. So awesome.
I'm happy to give folks recommendations, but yeah.
No, that's great. No, that's awesome. I think that's, we'll kind of maybe pause there and kind of pivot to our guest speaker. And then I think after we kind of wrap up with guest speaker, then I will share dates. Does that work for you?
That's perfect. And obviously we can continue the conversation with anyone who's still here then.
Wonderful. All right, y'all. Well, excited to bring to you another wonderful guest speaker. And what's really cool about a lot of the guest speakers we've been bringing for LH1 Live is that we say guest, but they're guest speaker to LH1 Live, but they're involved in part of our community, which is always the best to be able to learn from, support, and hear from people in our community as well. So I would like to introduce to you Melinda Marsh. Melinda is a mom of someone affected with LHON and so much more, and has done a ton for the community already, and is here to kind of talk to us about the data collection platform. Linda, are you there?
Hi. Excuse me, I am here. Thanks, Jessica, and thank you, Andy, for letting me share about the LHON data collection program, or it's also called a medical registry. I also spoke at conference about the DCP in the community, and I wanted to reach out to our community through an LH1 live call as well. So thanks for giving me this opportunity. This LH1 live call we are all on right now is a perfect example of this community engagement that we all value.
California hippies.
to be a part of, to make the rare disease not so rare. Community has been fostered through these Zoom meetups, as well as our conferences, and from family and friends who have supported and shared the ups and downs of this LHON diagnosis. It's how we not only manage our day, but hopefully we thrive. About 2 years ago, as Jessica just mentioned, our son Xavier became affected and he lost his central vision. My husband and I, for those of you who don't know us yet, we went searching for that elusive cure. We couldn't believe that our youngest son had a disease that had no cure that we had never heard of. The question we kept asking was, if there isn't a cure, why not? And we met with all kinds of clinicians, researchers, and biopharma here in the United States and then internationally. The main question we asked is, what do you need to fix this disease? And over again, all those medical experts kept saying that if LHON had a professional, secure, accessible registry that was well populated, that we could be the rare disease of choice. So Chris and I partnered with Lyssa, and we went searching for that best registry to meet those needs that the medical experts had defined as necessary. From our extensive search and discovery efforts, we found RareX, and with them, we created the LHON registry. This registry now has 150 people included, and many of you on this call may be a part of these initial participants, and if you are, thank you for that. This is a great start, but to be something researchers will pay attention to, we need about 1,000 registrants. We can get there, but we need to work together to do so. Now, we as an LHON community need to add scientific breakthroughs to our set of LHON community values. Just like we value attending a Zoom call because we enjoy the camaraderie and the connections we get with others who really understand what the day in and day out challenges and successes may look like, or we post a picture of a new guide dog or a personal accomplishment or a frustration that would otherwise be scrolled over in the larger Facebook feed, but is instead celebrated or acknowledged as important within our LHON community. We are valued by this community, and we in turn value each other and what is important to one another. This LHON live call, for example, is something we feel is worth doing. That is why we are here. I am now asking that we add scientific breakthroughs to those LHON values. Our participation in this registry creates the partnership that will encourage scientists to choose our rare disease of LHON as the rare disease to solve for. There are scientific initiatives that will benefit LHON that will go forward with or without our registry, but they will have an opportunity for greater success if those same scientists can use this medical data that we provide as a part of their overall research. We will also have greater success enticing new scientific partners with this initiative. For scientific research to move quickly and pass regulatory hurdles along the way, patient data is mandatory, and that is just what we are providing through this medical registry. We, you and I, are the patient data. When we participate in this medical registry or have additional family members participate, if you have already participated but know of family members who haven't yet, we can encourage the science that is moving at a much faster pace than it has ever seen in the past to go and do amazing things to benefit LHON. So how can we work together as a community to help these scientific breakthroughs to happen? If you haven't participated in the medical registry yet, please add this to your LHON community values and join the current 150 participants. The registry consists of a number of consent forms and then questionnaires that ask you about your health from head to toe. This is so important because LHON is a mitochondrial disease, and we know it by vision loss. And we share as a community how the mitochondria is everywhere in our body and that there are LHON plus symptoms. What is defined as LHON plus symptoms is currently basically just community sharing with community. For it to be recognized as possibly related to LHON or ruled out as not related to LHON requires scientific research and interest. If we all share, I get migraines or have a heart condition or suffer from depression or sleep deprivation or a hearing issue, or maybe we say, no, I'm actually quite healthy and I just can't see that great. That input becomes statistically relevant and ready to be studied. We go from anecdotal to a better understanding of our disease, and from understanding comes scientific progress. In addition to the questionnaires, we also have the ability to upload our genetic reports. If we have them as a part of the objective data that science can use in addition to our subjective data, this will be useful for future clinical trials for gene therapy, gene editing, stem cell, and therapeutic approaches that we could all benefit from. From the registrants who have participated so far in the registry, of course, vision is the number one issue reported. In addition, about half of those registrants reported that sleep was an issue and that they had heart issues. Also, about a third of those people who registered said that they had skin issues, migraines, depression, and/or hearing issues. This information from the small current number of registrants is not enough data points for scientists to take note. But as we move forward with increasing our participation numbers, this data will become relevant and able to be referred to for future studies and work with our LHON community. In addition to registering yourselves, please encourage your family members to register. This registry is for those who are affected as well as carriers, because we all carry the genetic mutation of LHON. So for my family, I registered myself as a carrier, my son Xavier, who is a minor and affected, and my mother, who is deceased. My other two sons, Sean and Danny, who are carriers and both over 18 years old, registered themselves. Now, I'm an only child, but many of you on this call have brothers and sisters who may also have kids of their own. With the maternal inheritance of LHON, as a community, we could get to that big number of 1,000 registrants so quickly if we all work together. Let's add medical breakthroughs as another way we value ourselves and each other going forward. As I shared at the LHON conference this year, I have met amazing people as a result of this diagnosis. I would probably have never met many of you if LHON hadn't entered my family. I want to maintain those friendships. You are all amazing, and I value my friendship with each and every one of you. As I said before, I just don't think we need to have LHON to be friends. Wouldn't it be great if we got on one of these Zoom calls and we were able to celebrate and say, wow, as a community, we did it. We valued ourselves and our community and our loved ones so much that we came together to make the unimaginable happen. Please feel free to reach out to me anytime and let's support our LHON community and the scientists who want to work alongside us. Maria Johnson and I are also creating little videos that are being posted on our LHON global site once a week to discuss various aspects of this LHON registry. We are keeping the recordings to about 5 minutes each. Please watch the first episode that has just been posted and let us know what you think. If there's a topic about the registry that you have a particular question about, we'd love to know what that is. Make a small video about that topic specifically that you would be most interested in. I will post in the LHON Live announcement on Facebook the link to the registry, my contact information, and the link to our first registry video for you to be able to find easily. Thanks so much for your interest and your friendship. My LHON community means the world to me, and I want to see our lives continue to blossom from our already strong community. Valuing and incorporating these science partnerships into our LHON family and values. And if you have any questions right now, I'd also be happy to answer them while we are all together tonight. Thanks again for your time on this LHON Live Zoom call. I appreciate it.
Woo! Melinda, thank you so much. That was all super, super, super helpful. And I mean, I hope everyone is as energized as I am to kind of get out there and not only do this for ourselves, but do it for everyone else who could be a part of this community in the future, our family, our friends, and just to have accomplished something really, really big. I mean, as you mentioned, we are 15% of the way there to that big 1,000 number, but I have so much belief that we can get to 1,000. I mean, as you mentioned, each one of us could easily get 5 other individuals we are related to do that, and that takes the number way down to 200. 200 of us getting 5 additional people. So this takes me way back to fundraising when I was in middle and high school, and just these types of big goals that seem unachievable at first glance. And I really think we as a community can set timelines and hurdles and checkpoints and get there quickly and leave that 1,000 number in the rearview mirror, hopefully before too long, Melinda. So I'm excited to read more information, and I know you've shared with a lot of folks here already, including myself, lots of information about the registry. So encourage you all to kind of look that information up, but also do your part. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to tell you, Andy, just two aside things aside from the registry. My son Xavier also enjoys surfing, and he said that he hasn't really needed his sight for surfing. He feels the draw of the waves is something he can feel and be successful right. Riding those waves even after he lost his sight. So that was just kind of went along with your descriptive story of your surfing lesson. So
I love that. Where do you live again, Melinda? I'm sorry.
We are in San Diego. Yeah.
Sure. Love it. Wonderful. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being here to kind of share the great work you're doing along with many others. I know these things don't happen alone, but I appreciate you being here to share with us tonight.
And I'll say a personal shout out to Maria. Thank you so much for helping me with the videos. I think that they'll be an interesting and engaging way for our community, our LHON community, to learn more about the registry and not take too much time out of your day with them being with a target of 5 minutes being our number.
I love that.
I think I missed it. Which registry is this?
It's called the LHON registry, and it's with RareX. And I'll put this in the post as well, but it's the website is lhon.rare-x.org. And I can type that up so that it's easy to click on from the Facebook site.
I'm going to repeat that one more time for you, Melinda, to make sure that I heard it correctly. It's lhon.rare-x.org.
That is correct.
Perfect. And encourage everyone to kind of check that out and encourage others to do the same. I'd love, Melinda, to continually have an update on how we're doing there. I know we made it to the 150 number, but throughout the year, I'd love to, whether we bring it to these calls or just see it in the Facebook group and the videos that Maria helps you post there. I'd love to kind of watch over time as we increase that number.
So, sorry, just to chime in. So that is the one that I registered my son for. I didn't realize you could register non-affected people. So I can definitely go back and do that. However,
I've fallen prey to a scam or two. I mean, this was like over a decade ago, but, and so right when I did, and I started getting right when I signed up and I started getting tons of emails, and I mentioned it to a big name doctor who I'll leave nameless, I guess, but she was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a scam. So you might want to get the word out that it's not a scam. It's not just for people that are affected. Because even this, you know, doctor who knows her shit, I believed her when she said, crap, like, you really shouldn't have done that. It's a scam. I was like, oh no. But I'm happy to learn that it's not. And yeah.
I'm so sorry, Em, that you had that experience a decade ago. Rarex is a part of a nonprofit called Global Genes. And within the genetic nonprofit world, they're very well respected. And we need to also educate the medical community that what you participated in 10 years ago was not this, because the registry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Totally unrelated. This has nothing to do with LHON, or I mean, I didn't know what LHON was until a year ago. No. I'm just saying that in gen, I just have done stupid things in my past, so I like freaked out.
And haven't we all?
Yeah. So, and it's just one of those things where, I mean, to be frank, it did seem, I was leery even as I was signing up. I'm like, is this legit? Like, it did seem akin to other, I don't know. It was just, and then, yeah, I was shocked when you're coming on. I'm like, I wonder if this is that rare X thing, because if it is, I'll have to go back to the doctor and tell her it's not a scam.
Oh, please do. Please, but, all your doctors.
But I will say that, like, I'll just let you know, like, maybe one of the, like, you guys were talking about fundraising type thing, like how to get the word out. I know, like, for instance, my father, never in a million years would he sign up for something like that, because it's just too much information that's personal that you're putting online, and he just doesn't trust crap like that. And so if there could be some sort of, I don't know, education around older people who would never in their right mind put all that stuff online to teach them, yeah, like, but it's okay, this one is legit, and here's why, and here's the protections for all your medical information, because it does seem, and even me as like a healthcare provider, I'm like, this doesn't seem like HIPAA compliant.
Well, but let me tell you, that's a great input, and what Maria and I can do is possibly put together a video about the compliance where HIPAA is concerned, as well as GDPR on the European side, and how the data is managed to maintain your privacy and your ownership of that data. Rarex doesn't even own the data. They simply host, so in a controlled and secure site, but you own the data that you put there. So thank you for the input, so that we can create those videos that would be of most value, and where the questions are concerning this kind of program. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yeah, because I feel like with my family, the hang up is not, we don't have 5 minutes to input all this information. The hang up is more, this does, you know, we're worried about this getting shared or whatever.
All right, well, stay tuned, Maria, and I'll put together a little script on that topic specifically.
Thank you so much.
I love this conversation. This is so fruitful. I know as we head toward the top of the hour, we normally like to give folks a couple minutes that are post the recording near the top of the hour. So want to make sure we have time for any final questions here as well. And we can, of course, continue this conversation after we turn off the recording, but wanted to give everyone a heads up that we will be doing that in a few minutes. Jessica, after you make, go ahead.
It's John in Connecticut. I was just going to ask Melinda one more question. The videos that you and Maria are working on, did you say those are posted on the LHON.org website that we all connect to Zoom through?
Actually, they're connected. Currently, we've posted them on a YouTube channel that you can get to through LHON.org. And they're also on our Facebook global site. So they're in two different locations, so that those people who are not on Facebook also have access to those same videos.
Great. Thanks, Melinda.
Jessica, I'll ask you maybe go ahead and get those dates up for us. And if you don't have them, I believe I have them.
I'm ready for you.
All right. Well, with that, I'm gonna pitch it over to you in just a second. But encourage you all to hang around for this conversation to continue in just a few minutes. But in order to get this recording off, I do want to like to add a few comments here for the last part of the conversation that's recorded for any folks who may be listening after the fact. For those calling in, who may be joining for one of their first few calls, I do like to remind you all that we host these calls every month. It's always, or typically, nearly always, the first Wednesday of every month at the exact same time through the exact same Zoom link. So 8 p.m. here on the East Coast, 5 p.m. Pacific in the U.S., although we welcome callers from all countries and listeners from all countries. We also host a number of other LHON-related calls for a number of specific affinity groups is what I'll call them right now, from age groups to regional groups to specific interests and categories. Jessica, if you don't mind sharing with us the calls we have coming up the rest of September.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Starting off with LHON Texas and nearby communities, that call is on Monday, September 11th at 6 p.m. Central. And next call is LHON New England, and that is on Tuesday, September 12th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I was like, special focus on the time, since these are a little bit different than our typical time, so just pay attention to that. Next call is LHON Southeast, and that is on Thursday, September 14th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Next call is LHON Midwest.
Hey, Jessica.
Uh-huh.
Don't mean to interrupt, but in terms of Southeast, do you mean New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania?
Southeast is more Georgia, Florida, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait. Yeah, that's it.
No, I was confused with what was in the email. So perfect. Thank you.
Oh. That's a great question. Then
you got it right, Jessica. You're good.
Okay, thank you. Awesome.
Sorry, Jessica. Keep going.
No worries. Next call is LHON Southwest, and that's on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific.
And real quick, I think you might have gotten knocked off track. I don't think you mentioned the Midwest one.
Oh, thank you very much. I was just about to ask. Next, or the one before that, is LHON Midwest, and that's on Monday, September 18th at 7 p.m. Central. Sorry, out of cadence a bit. And here's next one is Moms of LHON Affected, and that's kids of all ages. Kids is an air quote. We're always a kid. That's what my mom says. That is Wednesday, September 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call is LHON. This is New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And that is on Thursday, September 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern. I was like, Megan, that's your call. And that's a wrap for September.
Go ahead, Jessica.
No, I was just going to highlight, so one of the really important things, especially I am seeing a lot of new faces and names on this call. One of the coolest things I do want to share, there's a lot of cool things about this call. But one of them is going to be, if you see some, or if you hear something on a call, especially like talking about the DCP, the data collection platform, or medical registry today, oftentimes, the links and just different topics that we talk about are always found in like the comments of the actual, call. So if you're on Facebook and you see that LHON Live badge sticker that's blue and yellow, and you have questions of maybe things mentioned or like this, like with more information coming from Melinda, check out that. That's going to be a really good spot. And that's pretty, I would say that's your tried and true spot of where you can find more additional information and or follow up questions to look in the thread there. So make sure you kind of check that out if you do want to ask additional questions, look for more resources, or want to make sure you're getting in touch with the right people from that specific call. So that's just kind of a pro tip. That's all I got, Andy.
The last piece of information, can you still hear me, Jess?
Yes.
The last thing I was going to add is our next LHON live call, which I didn't tell you all when it was, is October 4th. So 10-4. Relatively easy to remember, 10-4 at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you're interested in being there, that's how you can join us. Again, we're always bringing new fun topics, but if there's something specific you want us to make sure we bring to the next month's call, you can always reach out to us and we will try and bring it up. With that,
Really quickly, just wanted to give a quick thank you and shout out to Melinda for joining and Maria. Melinda, thank you so much for jumping on here, sharing more information about the data collection platform. Please, if you have more questions, please stay, please ask. Knowledge is power, especially being able to learn how we can all kind of jump into this data collection and eventually be able to get more and more research on us. So Linda, not only do we appreciate you being on this call tonight, but also all the work and building to get to this point. So thank you so much for being here. Please stay, please ask questions, everyone on the call. And we look forward to growing that number like Annie said.
Thanks. Definitely. I'll also put my email in there. So if you don't get your question answered or you don't want to ask it in a public format, you're more than welcome to reach out to me individually.
Perfect. Love all of that. With that, I encourage you all to hang around, but I'm going to return the recording off.